Good evening. It's said that little confession is good for the soul, so I have a confession to make. Art was right and I was wrong. And the bulletin is right. It is lakesidecofc.com. And I would encourage you to go there and take a look around. There are a number of things there that might be of interest to you, quite a number of articles that if you want to download them as a PDF file, those of you who are computer savvy know what a PDF file is, and you can send those to whoever you want to do, and quite a number of other things that I think you'll find that are helpful there. We're going to take up where we left off two Sunday nights ago, looking at Christianity as a daily religion. We looked last time at daily Bible study and how important that is. And we looked at daily prayer and at daily service. And so we want to begin this evening looking at about three other things, the first of which you will find in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. If you'd like to flip over there, that's Acts chapter 5. And verse 42, where Luke records for us, "And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So what we want to look at there is the daily teaching that the early church and the apostles in particular were involved in daily teaching. And you'll notice in the context there of Acts chapter 5, that these apostles had just been beaten for preaching Christ. And so lesser men might have said, well, that's enough of that. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't really want to go through this again. Being beaten by the Jews would not be a pleasant thing. They could lay quite a number of stripes upon you. The law of Moses limited it to 40, and they generally backed away one step from that to make sure that they didn't violate the law. And so you could be beaten with as many as 39 lashes. Whether that was the case here or not, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. The point is, in spite of being beaten, they went right ahead doing what they knew the Lord wanted them to do. And so there was daily teaching. Jesus commanded his apostles to take the gospel to the whole world, and he said to baptize those who believe and to teach them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. Well, what had he just commanded them? To take the gospel to the world. So I would submit to you that that commission comes down to you and to me as well. It is our responsibility to take the gospel to those who do not yet know, and we need to be doing that regularly, not just now and then, but on a regular basis. It's not going to be accomplished on a whenever I happen to feel like it notion, but rather it is to be done regularly, in this case in a daily manner. Jesus himself taught daily. We read this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 55. That Jesus was teaching daily in the temple and in other places, wherever he happened to be. Sometimes he was in Judea, sometimes in Galilee, sometimes in Samaria, but he was teaching daily. We see the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus on one of his missionary journeys, Acts chapter 20, verse 31. He was 3 years there, one of the longest, probably the longest period of time that he spent in any one place, other than when he was incarcerated. But he was teaching, it says, night and day in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. So the question boils down for you and for me, are we teaching? Are we teaching at all? Much less are we teaching on anything close to a daily basis. I set the right example every day. Good, I hope you do. But there has to be some teaching sooner or later, and hopefully it's going to be sooner. A good example will be a positive influence But a good example by itself will never convert anybody. There has to be the teaching of the Word. People have to understand what the Word says, who Jesus is, what he did for us, how we respond to that, what will happen if we do. And so there has to be teaching. The good example is wonderful, and we encourage that. But specifically, folks need to understand they're in sin, they need salvation, Jesus is the answer, here's the solution, here's how you go about being saved. And then, here's how you go about living as a Christian once that is done. And that requires teaching, teaching, teaching. And so, daily teaching. Once people have obeyed the gospel, as we said, they need more teaching, and they need to be encouraged to remain faithful. Do you ever need encouragement? I sure do. I need encouragement, lots of it. And I appreciate encouragement when I get it. In the book of Hebrews, I want us to turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to read there verses 12 through 14. That's the third chapter in the book of Hebrews. And we'll start in verse 12 and go through verse 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another, here's the word, daily. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And so we see the need then that the Hebrews writer points out here for daily encouragement in order to help us to remain faithful. There is strong temptation in the world. Satan will see to it that you are tempted. And there is that constant danger that we slip and fall and not get up back up again. And so, especially during trying times, we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraging one another. In the book of Hebrews, once again, in chapter 10, verse 25, which you've probably heard quoted a bazillion times, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but how does it end? But exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not so sure the day that's approaching there is the first day of the week. I'd rather imagine it was the destruction of Jerusalem that was approaching and that would be devastating to anyone of a Jewish background. That would be like Washington, D.C. being wiped off the map for you and for me. We would be devastated if that happened, the very capital of our country. And so here was Jerusalem, the city that the Jews had long loved and that they had great respect for, and it was going to be destroyed. And so as that day was approaching, they needed to be strong, and they needed to be encouraging one another. So always, he says, to do this. He says, as long as it's called today. Is this today? I think it is. It's always been today, hasn't it? Every time you think about it, yes, this is today. So as long as it's called today, we need to be encouraging one another. Certainly the nation of Israel had plenty of naysayers. They were well accustomed to that. And the context here in Hebrews is all about that. That here their ancestors had come out of Egypt and they were not faithful. They griped and they growled and they made golden calves at the Mount Sinai and they complained about food and they complained about water and they complained about Moses and just all kinds of things. And eventually it cost them 39 more years in the wilderness. They, instead of going into the promised land, they marched around in the wilderness until that entire generation had passed away. And so they had their share of naysayers, and the Hebrews writer is saying, don't do that. Don't be like that. Rather, you encourage one another. Don't be like your ancestors were way back there in history. You remain faithful. You encourage one another in times of difficulty. And then we're going to talk about daily endurance. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke, shall we? Go back to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look there at something in the 23rd verse of Luke chapter 9. Will sound quite familiar, I'm sure, but there is a particular word that I want us to pay close attention to. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." You've heard that before from the other accounts in the Gospels, but here's the word, daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Does Jesus expect us to take up a literal wooden cross and carry it around, take up our cross daily, and that's part of following him? I've actually seen pictures and television footage of people, sincere people, no doubt, that were carrying about a cross, thinking that that was somehow going to make them closer to Jesus and closer to his suffering. Of course, the cross was an instrument of persecution, of sacrifice, and Jesus would be telling his disciples here, you're going to be persecuted. You are going to have to make sacrifice, and yes, it may cost you your lives. And many of them, it did. In fact, we would say, in all probability, if we have our history right, most of the apostles, with the exception of John, perhaps, died on account of their faithfulness to Christ. And so, when he says, take up your cross, he's not necessarily saying you are going to be crucified, but he's saying, you be willing to suffer for me. I'm going to suffer for you. You be willing to suffer for me. So daily endurance, endurance of opposition, endurance of oppression, endurance of persecution. Not just, by the way, when we talk about bearing the cross, that is not a reference to the everyday trials that everybody experiences. You know, well, I'm sick. Well, that's just my cross I have to bear. That has nothing to do with bearing a cross, does it? Germs come across everybody, and they affect everybody, and we all get the flu, or we all get a cold, or we get COVID, or whatever it is. And we have to deal with that. But that's not bearing the cross. Bearing the cross goes hand in hand with suffering because you're a Christian. In the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not just, people are persecuted for all kinds of reasons, but when it's for righteousness' sake, that's where the blessedness comes in. Persecuted because you're doing what is right. Persecuted because you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So it goes hand in hand with the idea of self-denial and being willing to endure whatever comes, including a cruel death. I think most of us in here have never been anything close to threatened with death for being a Christian. At least I never have. If some of you have, I'm not aware of it. But that's not commonplace in this country, and I'm thankful that it isn't. May it ever be so. But there are places in this world, even today, where you take your life in your hands, if you say a syllable about Jesus, you could very well be executed for that, or thrown in prison, or have everything you own taken away from you, including your children. Persecution is alive and well. And how long will we be the free people that we are today? I have no idea. I hope for a long, long time, but I don't know that. Certainly, we need to be aware of the fact that persecution exists and that we're not too good to be victims of it. We don't have any special reason why we should not suffer that right along with the rest. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says that we are to be living sacrifices. You contrast that with the Old Testament sacrifices where the animal was killed and then burnt up on the altar or whatever happened to it. We are to be living sacrifices day by day. We are to be giving ourselves sacrificially to the Lord. Paul expressed it in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. The point being, in the very next verse, verse 32, that his life was in jeopardy daily. Not that he literally, physically died daily, of course not. But his life was in jeopardy on a daily basis. But he willingly suffered that for the Lord's sake. Paul's one of the most amazing people that I can think of in Scripture, that such a rabid persecutor of Christians, a Jesus hater like no one else. And you talk about a 180, he did. And when he did, he was as strong for Jesus as he was against him. And he was perfectly willing to die. And again, if we have our history right, and I think we do, from 2 Timothy 4, he said that I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. History tells us that Paul was beheaded. Being a Roman citizen, he wouldn't be crucified, but he was beheaded, if we understand it correctly, and I believe we do. And so that's why we need encouragement, so that we can endure. Even Jesus desired encouragement from his disciples as he was praying in Gethsemane. Unfortunately, he didn't get it, did he? They went to sleep instead. But then the angels came and ministered to him. We can endure more together than we can separately. And that's why we say we need to encourage one another daily so that we can endure daily. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon points out in chapter 4, verse 12, that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I was just thinking this afternoon, sometimes you need a piece of thread to sew on a button, and you can take that piece of thread and wrap it around both hands, and you can pop it. You can break it, no problem. Take two pieces and put them together. You might go ahead and break it. It's going to be a little harder. Take three threads and then braid them together, twist them together. You might not be able to pop it with your bare hands. It might take more than just that. Okay, think of that little bitty pieces of thread. Now think about a full string, a nice big string that you'd make a cord out of. A threefold cord, he says, is not quickly broken. The whole idea being that you and I and whoever else we can get together can do more and help each other more than just one of us by ourselves. Christianity is not a Lone Ranger religion, is it? Of course, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, didn't he? So the point being, you're not on your own. We're family. We're together. And we can accomplish more together than we can just apart. So let's wrap this up by talking about daily results. In Acts 16, verse 5, it says the churches increased in number daily. Earlier in the book of Acts, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Daily additions, daily growth, daily numerical growth is not the only result. There's also the fact that Christians are strengthened, and when we're doing what we ought, suffering is alleviated. We meet the needs of those who are less fortunate than we are around about us. God is worshiped. Jesus is glorified. There's lots of advantages. But one of the most obvious is when there's daily teaching and daily example setting and daily prayer and daily Bible study and all these other daily things, the result is daily additions to the body of Christ. So let's think about daily Bible study, daily prayer, daily service, daily teaching, daily encouragement, and daily endurance that will result in daily growth. And let's strive together to meet that goal. If tonight you're subject to the Lord's invitation, whether you need to put on Christ in baptism, or whether as a child of God, you need to put your life in order and get back to doing these things that we ought to be doing on a day-by-day basis, if we can assist you with any spiritual need, come as we're standing and singing to encourage you.